Hey everybody, Nate here. Before the show, I just wanted to take a minute to talk about our sponsor, the Snack Nanny. The Snack Nanny is the latest, greatest spill-proof bowl. It's the first snack bowl for kids with a self-closing door. The Snack Nanny allows kids to snack freely without overeating, keeps kids entertained, and prevents them from creating a mess for mom and dad to clean up. Kids and parents love the Snack Nanny. It's easy to use, easy to clean, and includes portion control features that only the Snack Nanny offers. To order, go to www.snacknanny.com or order through Amazon. Remember, you support our sponsors, and they support us. Thanks, and Nihei Dibiru. Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Hi everybody, and welcome to another episode of Chop Talk. I'm your host, Nate England. I just want to say thanks to everybody for tuning in and supporting the show. If you have any questions or comments, you can email them to choptalkwithnateengland@gmail.com, and I'm going to try to answer some of your questions on a future episode. Today's guest is Shuriru Karate Chief Instructor Sensei Mike Awad. Mr. Awad's list of teachers reads like a who's who of martial artists. He started his career under Victor Moore in Cincinnati before moving on to study with karate legend James McLean, Master Philip Keppel, and of course, Grandmaster Robert Trias. Mr. Awad has won too many tournaments to list, and they include various international, world, and national titles. And he's widely regarded as one of the best kumite men in karate history. He's also somewhat of a modern-day Motobu, having been in more fights and applied to his karate in real-life situations than virtually anybody else out there. Head instructor of the Kosho School of Karate, Sensei David Hammond, and Mr. Awad's brother, Richard Awad, also sit in for this episode. Both of these guys will be solo guests on future episodes. Mr. Awad shares a few interesting stories in today's episode, including being arrested in Phoenix and bailed out by Grandmaster Trias, his former girlfriend Mad Sue, who fired shots at Grandmaster Trias, and a big fight here in Cincinnati during the fireworks festival. And finally, he wraps up by telling a story that's been circulating in the martial arts world for years. A guy with boxing wraps on his hand came into the dojo while Mr. Awad was teaching class. And, well, you have to listen to the rest. And finally, you can hear the story straight from the source. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show.
This is a nice, clean one, kid.
All right, that's good.
Yeah, it's
a family warranty.
It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
So this is in Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah. Right there. 4th of July, on the way to Okinawa.
1983.
Turn that thing on, Nate.
It is on, it's recording.
All right, here it is. We just opened up the karate school right there, that we're in now. Mm-hmm. We left this other school that was in the back street. More squirrels went by than people.
We stopped booking horses too.
So we bought this building down here and opened up the karate school. And Master Trias was going to Okinawa that year in 83.
83 trip.
And so anyway, me and Rick went, we were going to go with him. Mm-hmm. And so we met, and we had to go fly out to Arizona, met in Arizona. And over there was the 4th of July weekend. And we were supposed to be there 3 days, then we go to California and then fly out from there. So I went to a friend of mine's house named Jerry Narlock. He had a real nice house and stuff, and we drank and stuff in the afternoon. And we were going to pick up Mr. Trias and take him to this big fireworks, like Cincinnati thing.
Okay.
And we had beer and a cooler, and we were just going to sit in this little place where you can see it. It was like a bar or something you could see over in the patio. Mm-hmm. And take him there. So on the way, we're going there to see, to pick up Mr. Trias. And the guy I'm with in a Ferrari.
Big red,
big, nice red one. Just like, you know, what's his name?
Magnum.
Okay, yeah.
The red Magnum Ferrari.
Yeah.
So he's pulling on the street, and I'm just sitting in the passenger seat, and I'm half drunk. 105 degrees. And this guy in a motorcycle with a girl on whips out in front of him, and they exchange words and curse each other, you know.
Right.
He's out of the bed, fuck you. And stuff. I don't give a shit. So he pulls in and he's gas, and then Rick went in to get beer.
Wait, where was Rick?
Rick was with me.
Now, you weren't all in the Ferrari, though.
We had two cars. I was just thinking that, too.
We had another car.
We all couldn't fit in the Ferrari. I pulled in the gas station. I got in there first.
But we were following each other to go see the master.
Exactly.
Pick the master up.
I was going to pick him up in a big car.
And right, the rental. We had a big Lincoln. And so anyway, he had to have gas, so he whipped into this, like 7-Eleven, one of them places. And Rick went inside to get beer and ice and shit. And we pulled in, this guy in the motorcycle makes a U-turn and comes around back in to the gas station. And I was just standing there while Narlock was pumping gas in his car. And I'm just standing there. And he goes, "You motherfucker, I'm tired of you motherfuckers doing this and that to me." I don't know what he's talking about. I'm just sitting there, and he hollered, "Hawaiian shirt, fuckers." I had a big Hawaiian shirt on. So anyway, he pulled his hand back and was going to punch me in the head. I had no idea. Rick, all this time, Rick's saying, "Cops, cops, cops." But I heard nothing. All I seen was this goonball. And I throwed his helmet down, hit his helmet in his hand, cocked him back. So I hit him, boom, boom, and he went like this. His helmet hit his girlfriend in the head, and the motorcycle fell on both of them. This is true. And right at that moment, the police came out of the 7-Eleven and seen me hit him. So I was arrested. And now they took me to three different jails.
Oh, man.
And stuff, and Rick's trying to find me, and finally, I guess I spent 10 hours in jail, and it was the last one I wound up in.
We were supposed to leave the next day.
Day after. We had 2 days.
We
had 2 days.
We had 1 day.
We were going to Okinawa, and they had to give me that night. We had the next day, and the next day we're leaving.
Okay.
And going to California, then the whole group's meeting there and going out. And so I'm shoveling. They took me to one little jail, another little jail, another one. And the last one I was in was this holding tank, and there was this Mexican in there, Julio Ramondez, whatever his name was, and he goes to the cops, "Give me a paper, I need a paper, give me a paper for my cigarette." "You don't get no paper," and he hit his club against the bars, "Get back." And they rolled out, finally there's a paper bags on this, is like a holding tank. They took one of these bound Cobra bags, you know, rolled this big cigarette out of it. Said, "Here, you want some?" "I'll pass it with you." And I'm in a Hawaiian shirt there, just sweating and dripping sweat and shit.
You can't imagine it's not air conditioned jail.
No, this is a holding tank, this is nothing. And finally, the old man and Rick cracked me down, found out what jail was at, and Jerry Narlock came in. Actually, it wasn't him. Finally, I said, "Look, how much is it to get me out of this thing?" They said, "Oh, is this much? $200. "Well, I have more than that in my wallet. So let me bail myself out." "Okay."
Yeah.
But then Narlock come in, and I was found. But until I had to go to jail, if I left to go to the Orient and I had to be in court, I had to go back home, change my ticket, come back, cost thousands of dollars.
Right.
So the old man fixed it, so I met this judge. Me and Rick went down, met this judge, and his there's the courtroom, and in the back there's a little office. Mm-hmm. And he's in this little office, and we can't have you out-of-staters coming in here and doing stuff like this, attacking our guys and stuff. And I explained the thing to him, and I'm going doing this, and he said, well, okay, then. He knew Mr. Trias. It was all set up. It cost me $200.
Yeah. All right.
You don't claim you're guilty or anything. Just no contest, $200, and it's all done. Mm-hmm. So we get out of it.
So you ran around all day, one jail to the next. And
oh, they ran me to three different jails. It was 4th of July weekend. That weekend, right? Like, you know, they had fireworks there going, yeah, everything. And we were going to go out to this big thing in the desert when they did all this shit, and there was a bar.
Oh, yeah, I remember now that there was a special place they were having out,
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we were at a bar with a balcony, desert, and the fireworks were off. And
yeah.
Never did pick him up.
You missed the whole thing.
See, I didn't get out of jail till like, this is like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I didn't get out of jail till 7 or 8 at night.
Wow.
But the old man fixed it up, so I just had to pay $250. I had to listen to the judge, you know.
Yeah.
True. Got us out, we made our plane.
Nice.
Hit him with a left jab and a right chicken. Dropped his ass.
Just went right down?
Right down. Yeah. When he went like this, his arm flew out,
fell back,
his helmet hit his girlfriend in the head, and the motorcycle fell on him. He's sitting there like this. This is true.
Yeah, he hit the floor and knocked. Well, at the same time, the cops walked out. All they didn't hear him.
They just saw me hit
all
me.
They saw him hit him and knock the motorcycle and knock a girl over.
Oh, man.
This might deserve an illustration.
I think so.
Yeah? It's you can illustrate, too.
Yeah, or a reenactment, maybe.
So make a story out of this.
Okay.
A reenactment.
Let me see it, and we'll go over it.
All right,
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So did the
That's it. You got it recorded, right?
Yeah, it's recorded. Did the guy?
This is absolutely true. We went from there. We went to California, and went to Okinawa.
All right.
But and then in Hong Kong, I had to punch up the tour guy, Chinese guy. I didn't have to really beat him up. I just like smacked him around.
He was the kickboxer, wasn't he?
Yes, that was every.
But it'll sound better if the master got you out.
Yeah,
you weren't allowed to use your own. You remember this part. He had money, but he wasn't allowed to use it. The master had to get him out. The master used all his powers to get him out and get his whole thing settled so he didn't have to come back Monday morning because he was going to be in Okinawa.
You were sitting there watching the whole thing, right?
Watched the whole thing.
You told me.
Trying to warn him. Cops.
I didn't do what the master said. See all things, hear in all directions, and see all things.
Cops, right behind me. Cops.
Hello?
Oh, you meant cops.
Cops, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was screaming to him, the cops.
Oh, you meant cops.
Rick, at what point did you see this coming? At what point did you know that he was going to knock this guy out?
When the man first passed us on the motorcycle the very first time.
Before you pulled into the gas.
It wouldn't be long, but that man was going to be knocked out.
I felt the whole thing coming. This man is not going to, something's going to happen. We're in this, I was watching from the car behind. Mm-hmm. But that guy was drunk, and being in a Ferrari, I just said that kind of shit's going to happen.
Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
The fireworks fight.
Fireworks fight.
Let me get a beer. I better have
at the fireworks time. Here.
Okay.
Same one you went to.
Okay.
Big fight.
Oh.
beat up about four or five guys.
This is not the fight that Tom got in, this is a different one.
No, this is different altogether. He wasn't even there.
Okay.
I'll wait till Dave comes back. This is 1983-84.
It's about the same right around the same time you went to Okinawa, maybe a little bit next year.
Yes. Year that time. Yeah. Whatever it was.
Do you want him in?
Nah, he can stay out. He knows. Oh, yeah, let him in. I locked him out. I forgot it. Poor guy sitting there. Didn't know why.
Yeah,
Good boy.
I couldn't see it either.
Hey, Buster.
Yeah. It was probably 1983-84. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly. But we went to this fireworks. Same one you were at.
But we were in Cincinnati down the
water. But we were going over Kentucky to one of my students' houses. His girlfriend had a big apartment with a balcony overlooking the fire things there. Okay. And they invited us to come over. And I had this girl I was running. That was Mad Sue. And I was running with. And Tony went with me and Randy. So we went over to this thing, and
that's a whole other story. Mad Sue shot at both me and the master.
Oh, and the master was here.
Shot at
you? Grabbed my pistol, ran out the door, and shot at the house. But the master was sitting in the living room, and he said, "That's a gunshot." Well, she hated Richard because I wouldn't marry her because for some reason my brother didn't like her.
He's going to get rid of you to make it to get
rid of you. Well, that's why it's called Mad Sue.
All right.
Mad Sue.
That was...
Imagine if the old man got hit and killed by this bullet.
It was sitting right here.
Avon family killed Master Chase.
Was that the same weekend as the black belt?
Yes!
I was here.
You were here.
I was here in the house.
Yes! Milk Calendar was here. Everybody was here.
The same weekend as those pictures right there.
Yes!
Black Belt Review.
All right.
It was the first big
and
one.
Now we got a picture.
He taught a seminar. It was the last seminar he ever taught at anybody's school.
Okay.
It was right here, and he came and did it for us. We had our first black belts and stuff. Mm. We actually had a police escort parade. I got a video of this too, I got to give you.
Yeah.
A police escort took us from the old karate school up to the new one.
Is it the same event?
Same event, pretty sure. And we went up to the new school, remember? And he had his flowing robes on.
I wasn't here for that one, so I don't know if I came late or it was a different.
That was might have been right after that.
Okay.
But you were here when he blessed the old new school, weren't you?
No. But I was here for that black belt review, but
that was later then.
Yeah, I think so.
But anyway, he was here at the house and stuff. We had his big promotion and things. And afterwards we were here at the house and we were having drinks and stuff. We'd already been out and ate. And my girlfriend, for some reason, when I gave her some money and said, "Go on up to the bar with your friends." She had some other girlfriends here. You don't want to listen to no cruddy shit.
Right.
She went up and got drunk, come back, stole my gun, came back and fired shots at the house, hit Rick's car. I still have the part of his hood that the bullet hit. I got it in there. I cut it out, the hood. For real, I'll show it to you. Where the bullet hit it. No.
And then Rick sold that car to Tony, and he drove it for years with this big bullet hole right by the window.
The driver's hood.
Yeah. Like right by the windshield wiper.
Yeah.
We got to get a picture of the car part.
Yeah.
We got pictures of the tournament or the black belt review, and we'll get pictures of the car part. To substantiate the story.
I got the piece of metal.
You got it there?
Yes.
And we cut it out of the car.
I just can't see. There it is.
Are there any bullet holes in the house still? Did you cover those up?
Oh yeah, there's bullet holes down in the room.
That's a different story.
The bullet holes in the house are different.
That is a different story.
How many times has this house been shot up?
A bunch of times. There it is.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to put it in a frame and hang it.
Yeah.
Sensei is right there. What's that? It's out the backfire from the semi, Sensei. I know a gunshot when I hear it. That's a gunshot.
Well, she missed, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Bonnie won't miss.
That's what were you saying earlier? If she decides to shoot you, you want her to finish the job?
Yeah, when I come to dead, not to back me up.
Yeah.
Leave you in a wheelchair. I tell you something too. Them women, they always hate it when you were traveling, going to the tournament. You know, karate became like, because it wasn't like another woman, but you know, drag with you all the time, and
right?
Do all that.
It was more important than them to, in their minds.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks. Remember, if you have an upcoming seminar, tournament, or other martial arts event, let us know, and we'd be happy to announce it on the program. And now, back to the show.
That was the story I was telling you, though. I lost the trend. I was telling you about the fireworks story.
Right.
Yeah. This was before the gunshot thing.
Okay.
And, I went to this party with one of my students. His girlfriend had an apartment in Kentucky overlooking the river, and you could see him without being involved with the masses.
Mm.
So, me and Sue, Randy and Tony, because it was, the guy was one of my students, him and Tony, was Gangloff's guy. It was Gangloff.
They were buddies.
Well, you know, Gangloff and Tony's been buddies forever. They went to high school together. And so we went into, we had to park our car at this, like you did.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of a bus, Bill picked us up and brought us to the apartment complex over the hill.
Yeah, drove you down there.
He drove us down there. So we're sitting there, we're drinking and stuff, and Bill's, and he left and he's out with his girl, I think, somewhere. Is he had an apartment there too? And this is girl's apartment. So anyway, we're sitting there and waiting for the fireworks and drinking and stuff, and this girl's drunk. And she goes, she's talking to her boyfriend, you know, that's that, you cocksucker, you know, and shit like that. Oh, that motherfucker, I don't listen to these motherfuckers shit. So, for some reason, she looked at me and said, you'd hit a woman, wouldn't you? Yeah. I said, well, why don't you quit talking like a foul-mouthed street whore? Well, you cocksucking, tired of listening to your mouth. So this guy was the Navy guy, gets up and walks over to me and says, I'm going to have to kick your ass. So I got up and I hit him, bang, bang, and he fell on this chair and he was knocked out in this chair. It was nothing. And then Bill's friend goes up to me and starts poking me in the chest. You knocked him out. And I said, if you poke me again in the chest, I'm going to knock you out. So he hit me again, bang, hit him, knocked him out. And he stiffened up, and this is true, fell on the other one, on this chair. One sitting there, well, this is up, like when you knock people out, they either go limp, but some goes real stiff, and go like this. But some go real wiggly limp. And I said, let's get out of here. I always leave when that happens. Mm-hmm. So I got everybody and we left, and I walked out the door, and fuck back, I don't have a car. Ganglog brought me there. So I had to go back in the room, find Ganglog. Finally came down and went back in. They woke up. And the first guy attacked me and I threw him with a head throw and a couch, hit him in the jaw and dropped him. The other one grabbed me and wrestled. I got him in a headlock and ran his head in the wall. And then there was two or three others that I hit randomly. Because there's all these people in there.
Right.
And I was, this one guy jumped on my back and I ran him against the wall and elbowed him. And then my girl says, he's got a chair. And this guy had a chair hit me in the head and I blocked him with a high block. The basic block, the chair bounced up and I hit him, dropped him. The high block. Have you ever heard anybody say a high block is worthless? They're full of shit. I mean, it was a full swing chair, but you're, if you're inside them and you hit the arm, mm-hmm. you tuck your head, it just goes over you. And I beat him up. And then finally, Ganglob showed, he said, get out of here. And we left. So we're walking out of this building, it was really bright. You walked into this dark fucking yard before the parking lot. I couldn't see shit. And all of a sudden I seen this guy going like this, like a dog, real low, running. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't see what the fuck he was doing. It was that last guy I hit tackled me. I couldn't see him because I left from, you know, real light, bright right. place to a dark place.
Right.
You get that night till your eyes adjust. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I grabbed his head and wrestled him down, throw him down, pin him down. Mounted him in a schoolboy pen and said, I'm pissed off at your fucking ass. I'm going to beat you up real bad. And then Tony grabbed me from behind. And this guy was already beat up. Mm-hmm. Done. I would have smashed, knocked his teeth out and smashed him.
So is this the third time you beat this guy up? Cause you so this guy got it three times, the other guy got it twice, and a bunch of people got it.
Oh, there was other people involved too. Punches the people. I mean, it was a regular, and it was best I didn't knock his teeth out.
Yeah.
And it was weird when I finally hit him, mounted and pinned, he went like foaming almost. Like, just totally lost it. That's true, too. Right after we were leaving, sirens were coming.
Someone had called the cops.
Always leaves. Be surprised they didn't get there earlier. People get scared. People not even involved get scared. They think that anytime they see it, some violence, like it's not controlled, they're supposed to, they're geared to call the police. As soon as they read, it's got nothing to do with you. My own business.
Looking for great entertainment? Want to find the best deals on food and drinks? Use the PubPal app to find great establishments near you. View daily specials, find live bands, karaoke, even poetry. If you're looking for something to do, PubPal is the answer, and it's only a click away. Download the app on the Apple Store and get the Android app on Google Play. And don't forget to like them on Facebook. Visit PubPalUSA.com to find out more. That's PubPalUSA. PubPalUSA.
I got one more. I got one more that I want to hear. Someone who brought this up the other day. There was something about some guy with boxing gloves tried to come into the dojo and you knocked him out. What's the story on that? I want to get that right from the source.
This is Friday night workout. I had all the ranks lined up. We're working out. Summertime. Well, right next to the dojo was this bar, the toughest bar up there. guy was shot to death in there, called our place. We used to go there and drink and stuff and beat up the tough guys. We beat them all up. I mean, we ruled that bar. And beat many of them. I don't know how many people we beat up. They'd come drunk over to our karate school and would come in. I said, "You're drunk, you gotta come back when you're sober, you can't be here." They attacked me and would have beat me up, and I'd knock them out, throw them out the door. And behind the school too, one time I was, that's another story. But anyway, I was there one day, and that's Friday, we're working out. This guy comes in with these boxer wraps on, and a jacket says kickboxing champion. And he's drunk as shit. And I said, "You can't talk to me now, I can't talk to you drunk. You gotta come back when you're sober, you've been drinking."
Doors were open.
Both the front doors wide open, summertime. I don't open them anymore.
That's why you keep them locked now.
Yes. They just can't wander in. And, hey, you gotta go this, that. Well, I'm kickboxing champion and so and so. Well, that's fine and stuff, but you gotta come back when you're sober, beat it. I got karate class to teach. I was just telling him to beat it or get out. Mm. You know, I'll beat you up. So he left. And so he started class, and all the guys were there working out. So there was about 10 guys. And all of a sudden he's out in front, milling around with a pencil going like this.
And I'm taking notes of why.
Well, I said, "What are you doing?" "I'm writing down all your trophies." I said, "Get out of here! Just get out of here." So he left. When the guest got drunker.
Yeah.
Finally he come back and he come in, yeah. Ah! So all the guys were there. This is true. I put them all in attention to watch us. I went out there. Ah! And I hit him right in the jaw. Knocked him through the doors. Doors were open. But he hit the curb in the thing and busted the back of his head. It actually made me realize you just can't be pissed off and hit somebody as hard as you can. Unless it's really, he wasn't that much of a threat.
Mm.
But he pissed me off.
He was laying on the sidewalk.
He pissed my ass off. Come to my dance class and shit. He picked the wrong time. I hit him too hard, man. He busted his head when he hit. So I got him up, and there's these people across the street waiting at the bus station, seeing all this. So I said, we had two of the students drag him in by his feet. This is true. They drug him in by his feet, closed the doors. I used to have curtains there, and they pulled the curtains. And these people across the street seen this. So I had the guys all lined up in attention. I had this about a 15, 16-year-old kid there whose dad owned a big car lot up the road. And apparently he never seen nothing like that. He got sick. He had to go throw up the toilet. And, he's seen somebody knocked out.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And we drug him in, and he was bleeding. So I had one student go get the paper towels, get some ice, and we got him up, and I sat him on this bench. And I said, "Don't move." He just sat there.
He was conscious by this time.
Oh, he was conscious by now. I mean, if a person's like in the movies, they show him unconscious for 5 minutes, you got brain damage.
They're dead.
A person's knocked out, it's out for 30 seconds like that, he might be groggy and stuff. But if you're unconscious for 5 minutes, you got some kind of brain damage done. It ain't like the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I got him up and he was all groggy and stuff and sat him there. And so I said, "Fuck, man, I gotta do something. I'm gonna call the police because he don't sue me." And so I called the police and came in and said, "Look, this guy came in, he swung at me. We got all these guys here. I've seen him swing at me with this club. I threw a club here." "Well, yeah, I'm gonna protect my ass. I ain't gonna be some punk face. He seen him attack me with this. Okay, I understand. Do you want to press charges?" No, I just want you to know that this happened and I don't want to press no charges. And he came in and attacked me with his club.
You just want it on record.
Yes, it's on the record. So he took him to the hospital because his head was, when he hit that curb, was split open in the back of that bed. And we had rag on him and shit. So anyway, the cop took him. And that was like Friday. Well, Monday I was there at the dojo. And I was getting, you know, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And all of a sudden he comes in and walks in into the office. That's when the front door used to be open. Mm-hmm. Now we are cloistered. And he came in. I said, I'm going to beat him up again. He bows to me. He says, Mr. Raven, I'm sorry. I apologize for what I did. I was drunk out of my mind. And I apologize completely for what I did.
Wow.
Okay. He was working at this at the Moscow power plant. That was that's a plant that's up here.
Okay.
An energy plant, power plant, and they brought him in from somewhere. But anyway, he was drunk next door. And I apologize.
Wow.
True.
Humbled.
He had boxing wraps on his hands. Boxing? Who walks around with boxing wraps? Out drinking, you got boxing wraps on your hand?
Walk into a karate school and challenge somebody.
Yeah. He must have done that before at some bullshit school and they intimidated him, scared him. And
yeah.
He just got shit knocked out.
How do you drink with the boxing?
I have no idea. And he had a jacket on, one of them silk, you know, jackets on. Kickboxing champion. He even had kickboxing, everything shut. He came back.
Okay, everybody, that does it for today's show. I'd like to thank Sensei Mike Awad again for sitting down and talking with me, as well as Mr. David Hammond and Richard Awad for sitting in. If you have any questions or comments, please email them at choptalkwithnateengland@gmail.com, and we'll try to answer them in a future show. Thanks for listening, and see you next week. Everyone, like the show? Enjoy hearing interviews with martial artists from around the world? Then share it with a friend, family member, co-worker, everyone at your dojo, your fellow karateka. You can find new episodes every Sunday at choptalk.podbean.com. That's choptalk.podbean.com. And don't forget to like the show on Facebook. Thanks.